Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number three of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's Greg Pickle. We are both here in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. The show so far all about Penn State's coaching staff with the news. Sean Spencer heading to the New York Giants to be the defensive line coach there. Big jump, big promotion for him. Big opportunity. So you can't blame the guy for leaving. It's the fourth opening on James Franklin's staff of this offseason alone. So we've got quite a bit of turnover. We've addressed what we think that does and doesn't mean. But ultimately, I think to sum up our position on that is you as a head football coach at the college level anymore, your assistants should be in demand. And when they're in demand, you're going to have off seasons like this one where you're going to have several new voices coming in. I think we also both agree that there's a chance for at least in a couple of these situations to get a pretty clear upgrade. So it's not all bad. Sean Spencer's loss is indeed a big one, if anything, because he Brent Pry has led the linebacker unit since he got here. He's also taken on defensive coordinator responsibilities.
Right.
Sean Spencer led the defensive line since he got here in 2014. Those are the two spots where Penn State has not changed or evolved or had a different voice. And so Spencer going, I mean, it marks, you know, one of the final links to that first 2014 staff of James Franklin. How much in terms of defensive line development, do you believe, and we're going to get into some of the success stories that Sean Spencer has produced since he got here, but how much is Penn State going to miss Sean Spencer from a defensive line development standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the big loss will come. It's interesting. You mentioned that first 2014 staff, and now Jim Harbaugh has as many members of that staff as James Franklin does, which is kind of interesting. But at any rate, you know, it's kind of hard to say, frankly. I mean, there's no question that there were a number of guys who turned into very good NFL players with Penn State. Two of them just played in the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. Some other ones had very nice seasons. So, in the NFL, and then obviously the guys that are here, you know, Etor Gross-Matos is obviously going to be a high draft pick. Robert Windsor's played himself into the draft, and, you know, they bring back an experienced group, but the one thing you always wondered about with Spencer is, again, we talked about it earlier in the show, but why was it that it just felt like in the big moments, at the most critical times, the defensive line didn't always show up and didn't always, you know, have their great, do the great things they were doing in lesser times or in lesser games against the biggest opponents. I think that'll be what the new defensive line coach will and should be graded on is, can he get this group to the point where it is not only among the nation's best statistically, but also when you look at it from the eye test. And I think a lot of that will go back to recruiting. And can they get more of the top flight defensive linemen who are, you know, the fours and the five stars in the Mid-Atlantic region, in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, what have you? Can they get more of those guys and keep them closer to home to really start kind of building this thing up? He talked a lot about reloading instead of rebuilding, but sometimes it felt like there were some more building blocks needed. And beyond that, I think the other thing too is, you know, I'll be interested to see how much of that rotation factor Brent Pry keeps, because I know they like to do it to keep guys fresh, but you know, there'd be times in the fourth quarter they just got a big score and they were maybe back within a touchdown. Maybe he had just taken the lead, whatever. And then the third string defensive linemen are out there, and the rationale would be that, well, we want to keep our top guys fresh for, you know, the drives that really will matter coming down the stretch. But sometimes it just felt like, you know, some drives carried more weight than others at different points of the game. There never really appeared to be any rhyme or reason to it.
That's a really good point about the rotation idea. And it's a good idea, but I really do think you're onto something in saying that, okay, these are high leverage snaps here. This is the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half. We need to minimize damage. We need to keep points off the board. And so let's put our best players out there. I don't disagree with that thought. Now, just in a broad development sense, I think there are so many guys who arrived at Penn State in certain esteem, whether that's recruiting rankings or whatever. And I think in so many of those cases, they left Penn State more highly valued than they were when they got here.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that is a coincidence. You mentioned Yetur Gross-Matos, who he could be a first-round pick in April. He arrived at Penn State as a four-star, and I think he was highly regarded, but he wasn't anything that resembled can't miss, right? But,
right.
You know, through technique, and I think, you know, hand-in-hand is Dwight Gault in the strength and conditioning program is transforming these guys, because Gross-Matos is leaving now at 6'5", 260, yeah. Running a really fast 40 time, strong, all the technique stuff is there. So being a complete package, especially at those positions, requires big leaps in terms of their physical strength and their speed and their quickness. Robert Windsor, you know, not an afterthought in as a three-star from Wisconsin, but didn't even have a Wisconsin offer until late right. in that cycle. What was it 2015?
Yes.
Until late in that cycle, Penn State went and got him, and he's turned himself into a really good player. I'm not sure if he's a draft pick necessarily, but he's a good guy. He's a guy who could hang around the NFL for a bit. PJ Mustipher, highly regarded. Again, we've seen him take big steps forward. Antonio Shelton is another guy from the current team who jumps out as, you know, not highly regarded in any sense at all. From a three-star from Ohio, again, not an Ohio State offer. He's coming, and at the very least, you know, he's going to leave Penn State having occupied a lot of really good, solid snaps. Shaka Toney, I thought he was a linebacker. He's now a defensive end who they've managed to get the most out of him. I think he's still got a lot more that he can show.
Yeah.
Kevin Givens. We weren't sure whether he was a linebacker or a defensive end. He ends up being an impact defensive tackle. Just played, you know, he was on the 49ers Super Bowl team.
Yep.
Sharif Miller, I thought that there, you know, he was a three-star as well. You saw the potential there, but you also saw the potential complications, you know, as a Philly kid who you needed to bring in here and you needed a mentor. You needed to bring him along as much off the field as you did on the field.
Right.
And I think they did that. And I'm not sure to what extent Sean Spencer deserves credit, but I got to think it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
With no him. Question. Now he's playing for the Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I don't want it to come off as trying to put down the accomplishments of Sean Spencer, because that's not really my intention.
What have you
all.
Accomplished, Greg?
Not any of, you know, nothing.
I've been asked that in recent weeks based on my comments alone. You deserve to hear that too.
Yeah.
Who are you to criticize Sean Spencer?
I am nothing. Nothing to nobody. But I do think that, you know, there were times when you could really see what development was working. But and honestly, the thing that the other thing they'll miss a lot is just the motivation aspect of it, and the fact that this was a guy who, no matter where a kid was from, no matter what kind of background he had, anything like that, it seemed like Sean Spencer could connect with just about anybody, whether it was a defensive lineman, a offensive lineman, a quarterback, whatever. You know, he really looked out for these kids and really took them under his wing and tried to grow them as much off the field, I think, as on the field. And that's a component of this that don't miss as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to hear the first time he talks when he goes to the Giants, because, you know, it'll be a lot of, you know, the same old cliche stuff, excuse me. But at the same time, you know, there's got to be a reason for this, and we don't know what it is yet. But, you know, James Franklin, again, talks a lot about having that binder ready to go of potential replacements for anyone at any time. So, you know, I don't expect this search process to take a long time, but I do expect there to be some, you know, some tough conversations, at least initially, when the new guy gets here, because there were so many kids that put a lot of trust and faith in the Sean Spencer.
And so now they'll need to find a replacement who can make a similar connection. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Penn State, their search for a new defensive line coach, and looking at what Sean Spencer has been able to accomplish over the years. Check us out, as always, on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. If you haven't done it already, download the Keystone Sports app. Super easy to listen to us wherever you go by doing that. Just search Keystone Sports on your app store. I got through some of the names, but I think there are some others too that I wanted to get through, just looking at guys who have, I think, exceeded expectations. Curtis Cothran, you know, as a guy who was a really solid defensive tackle, and he started as a light defensive end at Penn State. Again, development in the weight room, development on the field contributed to that. Parker Cothran, nobody really wanted Parker Cothran, and they ended up being a pretty solid player at defensive tackle. Is another guy I think that you know, not rags to riches or anything like that, but was maximized, I think, by Sean Spencer. Tyrell Chavis, I think he's Penn State's most successful junior college recruit to date. We'll see. Jaquan Brisker might have something to say about that down the road. Evan Schwann, I thought he was going to play in the NFL. He's a guy who didn't arrive with a lot of fanfare either. Garrett Sickles, I thought he was going to have, you know, a really big senior season. He ended up leaving early for the NFL. The group in 2015, I thought, was maybe Sean Spencer's best work. Carl Nassib, former walk-on, was an animal. All-America. Yep. Did he win Defensive Player of the Year that year or Defensive Lineman of the
Year?
Something
like that,
he was in the running. All these national awards, Carl Nassib, and, you know, obviously he wasn't that much as a high school player, but he was maximized and then some by Sean Spencer. Austin Johnson, now playing for the Titans. Anthony Zettel was the first big success story of guys moving from defensive end to defensive tackle, kind of showed the way. And we've seen that over and over again, which I think is another feather in the cap for Sean Spencer, is to take a guy who's never played defensive tackle, take a guy who's used to playing more so in space, and moving him inside where that fight gets immediately taken to you. We've heard Ross Tucker talk about the difference,
yep,
being outside versus being inside, and they've made that transition happen a bunch. I think going back to 2014 then too, Deion Barnes is another guy. Solid career, but I think you look at the whole body of work here for Sean Spencer, and I think almost every name that I mentioned left Penn State as a significantly better player than when they arrived. And maybe if, I'll let you be the Mr. Glass half empty. Can you think of a defensive lineman who has not or did not meet expectations? It's hard,
no.
Right?
I mean, you can definitely find a couple, but you're going to find a couple on any campus in the country. So, yeah. You know, to sit here and pick those out as some kind of award would probably be unfair. But, yeah.
That's why I put you in position to do it.
Well, you know, I think that they expected probably to have a little bit more from Shane Simmons at this point, but he's been hurt.
Yeah.
Fred Hansard kind of the same thing. I think you probably thought he'd be more of an instant impact contributor, but he's fought injuries too. So, you can't really blame anyone or anything for that. They have clearly developed some unheralded linemen into some very good players, if not under the radar players from a national perspective. And, you know, again, the next step will be to continue to develop the top end guys and also the guys that come in as three stars. But, you know, maybe as much as anything, it all starts on the recruiting trail, and to continue finding guys that are rated high, even if it doesn't always work out, it will work out more often than not. The more of them you get, the better off you're going to be. So I think that'll be the next challenge for whoever comes in here is to really take the next step and not lose so many top rated guys to other teams.
And that is one area where Penn State could realistically see some growth, is to get some five stars that they've missed out on. It's a really difficult task looking at defensive tackles, especially in our region. You know, a guy like Christian Wilkins, they're going to want to go play for the big boys. Brian Brisee wants to go play for Clemson. So can Penn State bring in some five stars? Can they bring in some can't miss guys and develop them just as well with Sean Spencer's predecessor? We will start to find out. First, they got to hire somebody. So we'll keep an eye on that. For now, we're going to take a quick break. Jeff Brown's going to join us in just a moment to talk some Penn State hoops.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.